Coming up on this episode of the Starlet Pit Podcast, Chris and I are joined by world-renowned tattoo artist and one of the stars of the A&E reality show Epic Inc., Josh Bodewell, to discuss what's coming up for Star Wars in 2015. We also talk Star Wars tattoos and the television show Epic Inc. All that and more on this episode of the Starlet Pit Podcast, so let's get this party started right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Cranky and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, a podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, and we thank those guys for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 82 for January 19th, 2015. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt, your co-host, and let me welcome in your co-host and creator all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, Mr. Chris Hoth, Ice Planet Smith. What's up, my friend? How you doing? Welcome to 2015, our first podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, our first podcast of the year, and we're 2 weeks in, so, you know, hey, I'm having a ball, man.
Yeah, hey, you know what? We got a great show today. I'm really really psyched to talk to this guy. We're going to be talking Star Wars in 2015, tattoos, Star Wars tattoos, and to help us do that, again, I'm very excited to bring in our guest. He's a world-renowned tattooist specializing in all things pop culture. And in October, A&E wrapped its first season of the television show Epic Inc., where him and four other amazing tattoo artists converged on the Area 51 shop in Oregon to bust out some incredible pop culture tattoos. Joining us from his home in Pennsylvania, Mr. Josh Bodewell. What's up, Josh? Thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time, bud.
What's up, man? I'm glad to be here. Oh, and I'm gonna give you a correction. Everyone says Bodewell, but it's Bodewell.
Is it Bodewell? Okay. I could have sworn I heard that on the show too. I'm like, you never know with this. My name gets screwed up all the time. You're just like, yeah.
Yeah, I've lived with it all my life. But thank you very much for having me, man. I'm excited to be here. I can talk Star Wars day in and day out. I can tattoo Star Wars day in and day out. There's nothing more near and dear to my heart. So thank you for having me.
Well, you've come to the right place. Let me tell you what. Me and Chris, we've been doing this for 4 years now, and we've had, you know, people from Star Wars come on the show. We've had voice actors, and now we get this side of it, which is really exciting. And of course, we always ask everybody their first introduction to Star Wars. And I know you actually were featured in StarWars.com last year around September. And they asked you the same thing. And yours, like me and Chris, we're a little older than you, but you had mentioned you had the VHS tapes of the original trilogy. You used to play those all the time, right?
Yeah, that was my intro. I was born in 1980, so I missed out on the theater experience originally. And so I was a VHS kid, man. And the funny thing is, I believe I had an actual copy of Empire, but I believe my Jedi copy was like taped from television. So not only do I remember I don't just remember the movie, I also remember the commercials along with it. Like, that's part of the memories, you know?
That's true.
Like, I remember like the weird like Nestle Quick commercials and like Transformers commercials. And so it's kind of a fond thing for me. But I was definitely of the VHS generation. And Empire nowadays is definitely my favorite. But as a kid, you know, Jedi was definitely made for me, you know what I mean? With the,
yeah, right.
You know, a lot of the purists back then would say they didn't love the Muppets, but man, I love those Muppets.
So Return of the Jedi is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Yeah, it's the one that's nearest and dear to my heart as a child, but as an adult, I love Empire for obviously for its dramatic, you know, middle story piece.
Right. No, Chris, I know you had the same thing, man. We used to, I don't even think we took those VHS tapes out of the VHS, right? I mean, they were just always in there, you know?
Yeah.
You just put them on whenever you wanted, right, Chris?
Yeah, for me, it was, because when we finally got a freaking VHS player, you know, it ain't like kids nowadays, you know, they have a TV, a Blu-ray player in their bedrooms from the time they're like 5 or 6 years old. And I remember we were like probably 14 or 15 before we actually had a VHS player. So I had to literally just watch it when it came on HBO. So anytime it came on, I was sitting down watching it.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, those things never came out of the VHS tape player. So definitely wore those things out. So we're going to be talking some Star Wars with you today, Josh. Some, you know, celebrations coming up. We got Star Wars comics. We got, of course,
so
The Force
much.
Awakens. Yeah, so much. But
this is a good year to be a Star Wars fan.
Isn't it? Yeah, 2015 is huge. So, but let's talk about what's going on with you. I mean, you are one of, and I didn't even know this until I kind of read up a few months ago after I started watching your show. You and some of the artists over at Area 51, you're all licensed by Lucasfilm. Now, what goes into that as far as being a tattoo artist and being licensed?
Oh, you know what? That's a really good question. I'm asked that a lot because it's a very, very unique and very limited prestige, I guess, if you want to call it that's come up. It all stemmed from being a part of Lucasfilm's official event, which is the Star Wars Celebration events. We were lucky enough to be a part of their events and officially tattooing Star Wars images on fans at the events. It was pretty much my dream come true as far as an area to be tattooing. You know, there's nothing better. I love tattooing the Comic Cons, but if it's just all Star Wars all day, even better. And by doing that with a handful of other artists, I was able to, you know, be licensed by Star Wars the same way that a lot of their other, you know, their sketch artists and their, you know, the poster artists and everything else are. You know, and it was just, I can't tell you there's nothing more exciting than signing a piece of paper and sending it into Lucasfilms and knowing that your name is somewhere in their office. You know what I mean? Like, so it's such a silly thing, but it's such a big deal for me to actually be a part of their world in some way. And, so I did, Celebration 6. I did Celebration Europe in Germany, and, I'm looking to gear up to do the Celebration Anaheim coming up.
Wow, I was just going to ask you, are we going to see you out there? I mean, obviously we are, so that's great. Anybody else from Area 51 coming with you or just you?
You should see pretty much the whole gang in some aspect or another. We're all going to be hanging out, and you know, we're hoping to, you know, it would be nice to even film some of our – we do some little YouTube videos we started doing. We don't have too many up online right now, but just to kind of give some more content post the show, we've been filming a lot of stuff and gearing up to do some of our own YouTube videos. So. You know, at some aspect, you're going to see us around there. So definitely, if you're there, I can't wait to see everybody and come by and say hi.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, we're going to be there. We're definitely going to be there. So we were just talking earlier about tattoo shows. And I got to tell you, like, and, you know, there's been such a shift in the way culture has viewed, like, tattoos and tattoo artists now. With all these shows that are, you know, we talked about Ink Master earlier and there's, you know, of course, Epic Ink, which you guys on A&E, and there was New York Ink and Miami Ink and all this. And I got to tell you, it totally changed me because I always thought that, and maybe some other people are like this, you thought that tattoos and tattoo artists were like in some seedy little area in this shop, you know, and all they're doing is tattooing bikers and skulls and knives.
Yeah, yeah.
and then you watch these shows and like, wow, this is totally not what I thought it was. And what I appreciated the most out of it was the artistry that goes along with it. I mean, you're not just taking a tattoo gun and just like, oh, here we go. You guys are actually, you know, listening to the client. You're giving your own ideas. You're sketching things out,
right?
Making a stencil, then going from there. And then from there, just the craziness goes. So I think these shows have done a lot for the industry and just opening everybody's eyes. Like, you know, it's not what you thought it was. I mean,
absolutely.
You guys come in, you have a good time.
Yeah.
Can you kind of expand on maybe the change that's gone over the last 10 years, maybe?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right with the time period. It has been about 10 years. Once some of the Ink shows, Miami Ink was one of the first. There was a few smaller ones before, but Miami Ink really hit, struck a nerve with people and, became this sort of cultural thing. A lot of people are exposed to the fact that, hey, it's not just about, you know, the flash on the walls and, you know, pick, you know, that spring break tattoo. And, you know, it was about the artistry. And then that definitely changed my own industry, and we saw a big influx of people that were thinking outside the box, coming in with ideas rather than just wanting whatever is on the wall. And you know, and throughout that, it did definitely showed a different side of tattooing to the public, and I think there was a big cultural change there. And then when it came to time for Epic Ink, I felt like the one thing that was missing was our, you know, our geeky world, our of, you know, right. fandom, where myself and the artists that are on Epic Ink, my friends, they we love to tattoo the stuff that we're passionate about, which is, you know, sci-fi, Star Wars, pop culture, comic books, you know, and so we wanted to show that there's also that side too, where it's not always about, you know, as beautiful as, you know, the traditional, you know, Asian dragons and some of the, you know, ornate, you know, artistry that can be done in American traditional or, you know, those different styles, that mm-hmm. there's this pocket of people that love to wear on their skin, you know, the pop culture imagery that they grew up loving. And so there's we're not the only ones. We just wanted to showcase that sort of side of the world and show also that, you know, there can be a shop out there where people don't fight all the time.
Yeah, I know, it's true. I mean, you guys do, like, everybody just gets along, you have fun, you're playing games, and it's just it's a lot different than a lot of the other shows where there's a lot of fighting, and then but it's still about the tattoo and the tattoo artist, which is really cool. Chris, I don't have any tattoos. I know you have a couple, right, Chris?
Yeah, I have two pitiful ones, really.
So Celebration's going to be your chance to maybe fix
those. Man, I want one so bad, and that'd be the place to get it.
That would be the place, man. There's gonna be a lot of artists there. Everybody just sort of bringing their A game with the Star Wars tattoos, and you know, I think it's so amazing that that both Star Wars and Reed Pop, who do the show, both of them were so open to bring tattooing into their worlds, and I think they started. I think it was Celebration 5. I might be wrong. It might be Celebration 4, but I think it was 5 was the first time they brought tattooing. Shane Turgeon, the author of the Force in the Flesh book, he was one of the first people to bring some aspect of tattooing by starting the Star Wars tattoo competitions at the shows, where people just that already had Star Wars tattoos could go and show them off, and they gave awards out, and you know, so it's slowly been kind of integrating the two worlds, and it's been a really fun you know time, because what better place to get a Star Wars tattoo than at the Star Wars convention?
Yeah, I know. Talk about a story. So, wow. So you've been doing this for over 12 years, right?
Right. Going on 13 years. Yeah.
Now, obviously, you've been drawing since I'm a kid, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But I mean, what was the turning point when you go, wow, you know, I think I can do this for a living?
I don't know about the tattoos. I mean, that came a little bit later. Probably wasn't until I started, like, about 13 years ago that I was like, wow, this is something I can actually do. But as an mm-hmm. artist, I got into it early. I was a comic book fan. I was a Star Wars fan. I was always just drawing the art that I saw, you know, in my, like, you know, art of Star Wars books and my X-Men comics. And Frank Frazetta was a big influence on me, so I love fantasy art. And I was just drawing as a kid. I thought maybe I'd get into comic books. And mm-hmm. as I got a little bit older, I got to meet some different artists in the industry, and I started to realize that maybe once I learned what it was like to be a comic book artist, it wasn't as exciting, I guess. when I heard about editors and deadlines and things like that, I was like, I don't know if this is what I want to do. Yeah. I became a graphic designer after high school, just because I was fluent in computers. It was a good time, and it was like pre Y2K, when everybody wanted to be on the web, and I got into that, but it wasn't something I was passionate about. I was passionate about drawing and creating things with my hands. And, I love tattoos, and I got the opportunity I met my friend Mike Rocco, who owns the shop Funhouse Tattooing in, Tannersville, Pennsylvania. And he kind of opened that door for me, and he was like, hey man, you're really good at the art side. I think this would, you know, and you love tattoos. It's sort of perfect. And, I don't know what I was afraid of. Maybe I was just afraid of failure. Maybe like, I don't want to try it and hate it. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it wasn't until he opened the door for me to say, why don't you do this? And, immediately I knew that that's what I was meant to do. It was sort of, it just fell into place.
So when I'm watching some of these tattoo shows, I noticed that to do this, you have to go through some type of, I mean, maybe you don't, I don't know, but they seem to say that you have to go through some sort of apprenticeship. Did you do that?
Yeah, I went through an apprenticeship, okay. Which is, you know, you're not allowed to just start tattooing the general public. So just to learn a lot of the fundamentals of it, to a point where I felt like I was confident enough. then just move into working on friends and family and then move on to working into the public. And so I definitely, you know, there's definitely that aspect. And plus there's being certified as far as, you know, bloodborne pathogen training and first aid training and all that. So there's a lot that goes into doing it professionally as opposed to, you know, going on eBay and buying a Chinese made, you know, kit and doing it in your kitchen. That's definitely not the way to go.
No. Okay, I can see that. So the show, I've seen the show. I've seen, actually all the episodes. I watched it, over last year. And like I said, cause I was into all these, anything that was tattoo, I was like, I got to see this just cause I love watching people draw and, right. And some of the stories that came out of these, your clients are kind of interesting too. Chris, you've got to see the show, right?
Oh yeah. I've never missed it. But I have a question for you, Matt. How do you watch all these shows and not have a tattoo?
Well, that's the thing. Like here's, and this is Josh, you could probably talk to me about this because like you want one and you're thinking, God, what am I going to get? Because this is something that obviously is going to be on you forever. And I just think back to like 10 years ago, I think you even talked about this on somewhere, Josh, I read it maybe, like tribal was all the rage and now it's like kind of not cool, I guess, anymore.
Yeah.
What do you do? But I guess if you get something like your shop, if you get something that you're passionate about, it's never going to go out of style. It's never going to be bad because it's what you wanted.
Absolutely. And I think it just comes down to putting some thought into it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that you haven't gotten one yet. Because I think when you do get it, you're going to be ahead of the game in the fact that it's going to be what you want. It's going to be what you love. And you'll make a good decision on getting a quality artist. And I think that you're going to be ahead of the game of people just that started jumping into it. Yeah, I have half a arm. I have a whole forearm of 90s tribal that I'm currently getting lasered off. And I'll tell you right now, lasering is not fun, man. It's not the worst thing. It is worse than the tattooing. I mean, it's doable, but man, it sucks. So if at all possible, make good decisions and research your tattoo artist. But yeah, it'll come to you, man. I think that once you kind of settle on an idea and you kind of mill it about, you'll just know when the time is right. And there's an old saying that says, the difference between, tattooed people and non-tattooed people is the tattooed people don't care if you don't have one. It's cool. Like, you know, once you get one, you will, you know, there's no judgment there. It's, I think it's actually really smart to make sure you got the right one.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because with these shows now, like, there's got to be a big boom in your industry, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's over the last 10 years, there's probably more clients and more artists coming into the foray because it's a bit more accessible. The internet's made things more accessible, so there's more artists coming in. I hope that at the very least with Epic Ink that we showed more people that might be, you know, sitting at home going, man, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. I'm a huge fan of X-Men. I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man that, you know, it's cool to find an artist that loves to tattoo that stuff and you can get a tattoo of it and enjoy it. So it's like, I think that's one thing we wanted to show people was like, it's cool. Shops aren't this scary place full of, you know, angry bikers that, you know, the record's going to scratch when you come in. It's cool. There's a lot of shops like Area 51 out there.
Hey, Matt, Chris, I want to give you some friendly advice since that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. I waited until I had the design that I wanted. I waited until I was like, okay, ooh, that's what I want. But I didn't know about the artist part. I just went to the local tattoo shop here and said, hey, I took what I wanted and said, I want this. And the guy did it. And it turned out okay because it was this kind of a static, solid piece that I had done. My Boba Fett Mithrasaur skull that you've seen before, that one actually turned out pretty good. But my second one, now I got to get covered up because I have the Imperial cog on my left arm, but I have words on it. Well, the words have started to close up. So that you have to, like, look at it. It's like, well, what the hell is that supposed to be? Well, you know, it was Darth Vader, but you can't see it now. But that's something that I want to get covered up. And, you know, I went this past summer and was actually looking at some of my local shops and talking to some of the artists. And I went in there and said, look, this is what I want. Can you do this? And he's like, well, yeah. He starts kind of telling me all this, and I'm thinking, well, if you don't sound too confident in doing this, then I don't want you to do this. You know, it's kind of like, it's like what me and Josh were talking a little bit about it before we started, that what I see come out of what you guys do at the shop just seems so much more to it, more of a pop to it than what I see other artists do in Star Wars and pop culture. And it has to be what you said. When you love what you're doing and you love tattooing Star Wars, it's much better than going to somewhere where, yeah, he can do a Star Wars tattoo, but that's just not, you know, hey, I don't love it.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing too is beyond even looking locally, or maybe it's still local for you, but you know, with the internet, with Instagram, you know, there's so many avenues to find out about really awesome tattoo artists that do the kind of stuff that you love. I've been doing me and the Epic Ink Guys have been tattooing at a lot of the Wizard Worlds recently, and that's under the banner of the Geekster Ink Legends. And Geekster Ink is an app for the iPhone and soon the Android. Where it's only geeky, nerdy tattoos and artists posting their work. And it's kind of like Instagram, but just for geeky tattoos. So beyond that and Instagram, there's all these different places that you can find out about these artists that actually are going to share the love and passion for the imagery that you're requesting. And that's exactly what I was talking about. You can get a feel for an artist and if they're going to be into the piece. And, the more knowledgeable and the more into the same subject, the better the piece is going to be. You know, at this point, everybody knows that I do Star Wars tattoos. So my clients come to me and, you know, the request is as simple as like, I want Vader, I want Boba Fett, I want a Stormtrooper, go. And then like, I just create. they don't need to tell me anything else because I'll ask a few questions to figure out a certain avenue that I'm going to go down. But, they can trust in me as an artist because they've seen my past work that I'm going to give them something they're going to enjoy. And I think that's a really good, like, kind of symbiotic, you know, relationship with your artist that you should find.
I think that's what's funny is I talked about all the shows and I think now it's just like, even my wife is the same way. We're like, we want to try a tattoo, but you know, we want a Josh Bodwell or Ami James or a Tim Hendricks or someone like that to do the tattoos. And so sometimes it's like, well, unless you're going to fly all the way to Florida or, you know, go to Portland to you or something like that, it's just not going to happen. So like you said, you have to really do your research and
absolutely. If I can plug myself, I will tell you that obviously, my home base is in Pennsylvania. So a lot of the East Coast people close to New York, New Jersey, I'm out in this area. But we, most of, the Epic Ink crew, myself and the others, we've been traveling a lot for conventions. So that's kind of cool too, is like, yeah. I know that we'll be, you mentioned, Memphis, earlier. We won't be in Memphis, but, in September, I'll be in, Nashville for the Nashville Wizard World. So, you know, everyone kind of bounces around and a lot of us artists do travel. So if it's not myself or one of the Epic Inkers, any artist you're looking for, you know, check their travel schedule, see where they're going to be. And, you know, and it is worth it to travel, man. I've personally traveled, for tattoos for my own, you know, collection. And, and I've had people travel, just recently I had a couple come down from Ottawa, Canada, to come down and get some Star Wars tattoos. And, so it's worth a trip, you know, especially when you find the right artist. And I think that's really key to a future of happiness with your tattoos and not like me going to the laser removal.
God, it's gotta be painful. But yeah, so you're tattooing, I guess your forte would be, if I read right, it's called photorealism. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that a lot of the stuff I do lends itself to the photorealism world. I do a lot of portraits. I do a lot of images. Yeah. Portraits. And even if it's not a I think portraits are mostly when it's a person, but I even try to do realistic ships and battle scenes and things like that. But I also think that I try to put my own edge to it. If I can explain it, maybe I'd call it painterly. You know, I try to give it an edge that, still is unique. I'm a big fan of color. If you look at a lot of my work, it's mostly color.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just a big fan of visual, you know, bright, bold color elements. Probably why I love things like sci-fi and Star Wars and all that so much. I'm just a big fan of things that have some pop to it. Although it's not Star Wars, I want to say, I think, Guardians of the Galaxy was a big movie for me that hit all the right elements of color and composition for me. But Star Wars is definitely a big one like that. So yeah, photorealism, realistic portraiture, things like that. I mean, and I do stuff that's not sci-fi. I do a lot of animal portraits, a lot of, you know, I'll do some memorial stuff and I'll do people's baby portraits, whatever they want, you know?
Yeah, no, I look over your work. I mean, the Yodas that I've seen you do are just, wow. You know, it looks like he's coming right off the screen and your Ninja Turtles and your
thank you.
I mean, I've seen a Dark Bane. I've seen and some of the portrait stuff, like the Luke's and the Leia's you've done. And like, wow, you just if you're looking for the portrait stuff or the realism, I mean, damn, you can't get any better than that. I mean, it's just fantastic. Oh,
thank you, man. Thank you.
You said one of your favorites too is like the old Obi-Wan, right? The Alec Guinness Obi-Wan.
Oh yeah, dude. I think that there's something about, I've said this before, there's something about just Alec Guinness's emotion, the way that he emotes in just a look in the original Star Wars. You know, he doesn't have to say anything. You could see it in his face. You can read it, you know, in the wrinkles, in the tired and weary wrinkles in his face. I think he's so interesting that just an image of him tells a story. And so I'm a big fan of tattooing him. I think I'm a big fan of anybody that really, when I do the image, it can tell a story without needing a word bubble or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And that's what's so great about a lot of Star Wars. And if I could segue a little bit here, I would tell you I cannot wait to see what other images come out of The Force Awakens later this year.
Well, speaking of that, you just did a tattoo of Ren, right?
I can't stake a claim to it just yet, but it may be the first portrait from The Force Awakens. My friend Tyler did a graphic image of BB-8, the droid, the day after the trailer, and I think he holds the record for the first Force Awakens tattoo. But I think I did the first portrait from the movie. And I gotta tell you, there's something when I saw that image, I saw that speeder, I saw the desert planet. Maybe it's Tatooine, we don't know yet. It just something about that just struck a nerve. It just looked so Star Wars that, you know what I mean? Anything we've seen in the prequels, it felt right. And the actress Daisy, is it Daisy Ridley? Daisy Ridley. You know, she just looks fantastic. The costume looks great. And, I just was in love with this image. And, I found a client that was also in love with that image. And, so we put it on him. And, a lot of people, there were some naysayers out there, man, that were like, I think the funniest one though was people going, "What if she gets cut from the film?" As if JJ is gonna be like, no. You know what? I know we put that trailer out, but I don't like her anymore. A lot of people bring up the fanboys, you know, Jar Jar back piece, the Seth Rogen joke about having a Jar Jar back piece. Yeah. But I gotta tell you, my theory on it though is, as much as we don't really know anything about Ren's character, there's something about the female characters that always just, you know, reign supreme. Even in the prequels, who doesn't love Natalie Portman in the prequels?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I figured my guy was pretty safe getting a Ren portrait.
Yeah. Well, we'll get your take on episode 7 in a minute. Let's start with comics. We're going to talk about 2015 and what's coming up. And the first thing that's hit, besides, we'll get to Rebels in a second. They got some new comics coming out. Josh, you said you're a big comic book fan. The newest or the first issue of Star Wars came out with Jason Aaron writing.
Yes.
And I've read the first issue, and I got to tell you, it's really good. I mean, it hits like the movie. The dialogue kind of rings like you're hearing Han and Leia say it. Even the artistry, I'm trying to remember who the artist is. I don't have my iPad here to say it, but... he was hitting some of the panels he did. You can see the expressions from Harrison Ford himself in the movies. I was just like blown away by that. And I also love the fact that there was page turning surprises. Like you turn a page and there was something big happening on about three different sections of the book, the first book. You know, there was that page turning thing, and I love to see that. I know The Walking Dead does that a lot too. Josh, what's your impressions of, have you got a chance to read this yet? Or
I was just going to say, I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet.
Okay.
I've been excited about it. And, I got to tell you, we no longer have a local, shop in town to get a lot of the books. So I'm kind of relying on internet. And, I'm a Loot Crate subscriber. So I'm waiting for my exclusive cover, Loot Crate edition to come in like next week. I think it should be here. I've been following it. I've been, looking at the beautiful, beautiful variant covers. I mean, do they even have a handle on how many variant covers there are right now? I heard like 67, 68 so far.
They hit 100.
I think, yeah, yeah.
They hit 100.
Is there 100 different versions?
There's like 100 different because they keep bringing them out.
That's incredible. But what I am excited to hear is the feedback from yourself who have already read it. And I'm really anxious to get my hands on it and actually give it a read. But there was so much negativity with people disappointed about them moving away from Dark Horse, because we had Dark Horse for so long. But I had a good feeling about it. I knew that they were going to treat it with respect. I know they were going to, you know, just try to knock it out of the park, and apparently they've done so. And I just hope that they keep that up through the series and start to give us, you know, even more interesting page turning moments.
Yeah, it's John Cassidy is the artist I'm thinking of that is writing this. Chris, I'm going to get your take. I'm going to actually play just a real quick 1 minute clip of Jason Aaron and a couple of the editor in chief talking about the new Star Wars comic.
Star Wars number one is written by Jason Aaron and drawn by John Cassidy. It's a dream team. It's our A-list. We're bringing out our big guns to tell this story.
The series picks up a couple of days or a matter of weeks after the end of the original Star Wars, after the Death Star was blown up.
The Rebels have just landed the biggest victory they've ever had. You know, in our book, they're pressing their luck. They're going, great, you know, we're on the rise. Let's attack again while we have them off balance.
We're very happy to have Star Wars returning home. All of these stories are as relevant to you, the viewer, as anything you'll see on the big screen.
Every time I read a script, I get so excited. It's just like watching the movies all over again.
It follows that original cast. So it's got Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Princess Leia, the droids, Darth Vader, everybody you remember from those original films. So it's very much a team story.
Let's just say you've lived under a rock your whole life and you've never heard of Star Wars. You're going to know who these characters are right out the gate. But if you've seen a Star Wars film, a cartoon, or what have you, you're going to love this book.
So there's some thoughts about the writer and the editor-in-chief about the book. So I have to agree with them. Chris, you got a chance to read it. What are your impressions?
I loved it. I thought it felt like the original trilogy. It felt like mm-hmm. it came right behind Star Wars. This is not really a spoiler because it was out the day it was released. It was all over the internet. Mm-hmm. They start the book out with the opening crawl, like the movie, which I think is ingenious. I mean, it's just a brilliant way to tie it in. And from what I've read, they're going to do that every single issue so that people could just, oh, you know, they come along, pick up, you know, issue 6 and just start reading, and they won't be lost because, okay, this is where we're at this point, you know. I mean, it's the same as Star Wars. I mean, we felt like we were right in the middle of the story when it started. But, I mean, I thought it was fantastic. You got all the main characters in there. And Darth Vader being, of course, the main nemesis, obviously. And
right.
I mean, it felt like Star Wars. You said, it sounded like Star Wars.
Right.
Everything about it.
Yeah, and there's some big stuff coming up already. I mean, the last page is, I don't want to give it away, but you're like, wow, we're already getting to some combat, you know. I'll just say lightsaber combat and leave it at that. So it's really cool.
I got a question for you guys. Out of the variants that you've seen, do you guys have a favorite cover?
Yeah. What's yours, Chris?
Well, I've actually bought two, and I've got one more to get. I bought the, I think one of my favorites was the, you get it from a website called HeroesHaven.com, and it is a homage to the giant size X-Men number one. It's the same style.
Mm-hmm. Right,
artist.
Right.
It looks great, and I got the previews, the action figure previews, one from Things from Another World, and also the action figure. I kind of like the action figure variants. At first, I was like, okay, that's cool, but the fact that they've got an action figure variant for Star Wars number two, and then there's also going to be one for Darth Vader, and then one for Princess Leia, so you'll have to get all of them.
Yeah, I was going to say the action figure variant was kind of caught my eye as being one of my favorites. Josh, you got a favorite as well?
Yeah, my favorite actually is the, and I don't know if I'm going to get my hands on a copy because I heard it's pretty rare, is the Alex Ross painted cover.
Oh, yeah.
The tribute for the Howard Chaykin, that 77, or actually wasn't it 76, like Comic-Con, they released that
as
a poster?
Yeah.
So I think that's such an amazing piece of art. I love the history behind it. And then obviously Alex Ross just knocks it out of the park because he's amazing. But I heard somewhere that maybe there's only 50 of those copies.
Yeah.
I think that one's like 1 in 500. So
yeah, 500 even. Still, I don't think I'm going to get my hands on it right away. But a beautiful cover. So that's my fave.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ones. But when you get those that are like 1 in 100, 1 in 200, and 5, I'm just like, forget it. I'm not even going to buy it. Too expensive.
Yeah, and that issue's already on its third printing already. So obviously it's you know, killing it on the market. So, but it's Star Wars. I mean, you wouldn't really expect anything less than that.
Yeah, first printing already sold out.
That's not the only comic that's coming out, Chris. We got some more, and I think there's, Darth Vader and Princess Leia, and is there another one as well? Kanan. There's a Kanan comic coming out.
And there's also
a
rumor of Lando.
Oh, the Lando one, yeah. That's right.
That's being like a little miniseries. The Leia is a 5-issue series, which I can't wait to see what that's about. I think it picks up right after the medal ceremony, but who knows?
It does.
I'm interested to see where that one goes. And I was thinking about it today, that Darth Vader is an actual series. Now, we've already seen Darth Vader in issue number one. Obviously, he's going to be in Star Wars. But I'm curious to see how those two series go together.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be picking up the Darth Vader series, my favorite character. Salvador LaRocca is drawing that one. And then that comes out in February. And then in March, I believe, is the Princess Leia one with Mark Waid writing. And Josh, this is crazy. I mean, look at the talent they have doing these. I mean, they're going to their big guns.
Oh, yeah, they're bringing their A-game for sure.
Yeah, definitely being the A-game with LaRocca and Waid and Aaron. I mean, I know Aaron from Punisher Max, and I read a little bit of Scalp, and his stuff was always adult-oriented. But, I mean, like you said, they're bringing the A-game with the Star Wars stuff. So they're but it's great, though. It's great. Any other issue or series that you're looking forward to, Josh? I mean, or just all of them?
Pretty much all of them. I had a question, though. Maybe you guys know the answer. Do you think, is there any plans to expand on the Rebels series in the comics? Because I know that one of the first now officially canon books, I think it's A New Dawn, is a Rebels related book. Do you know if there's any word on Rebels being represented in Marvel Comics?
You know, I don't know. I know that the book is a prequel to the series. The comic... You know, I'm not sure. I don't remember. It's been a while since I read about it. If it's showing Kanan before before he meets up with the group, or if it's like a side story.
Right.
I believe it's before, and of course, all the stuff that comes out now is canon, because they have the story group now. So that's kind of a cool aspect of that, knowing that it's going to be canon stuff. But I think the Kanan one, Josh, is the only one that I know of right now that's going to be Rebels related. So, but let's transition into that. That's another big thing that's going on this year. We're right in the middle of season one of the Rebels, and at Celebration we'll all be there. They're going to debut season two there as well. So if you're down there, we're going to get the chance to see the first episode of season two of Star Wars Rebels. Josh, have you got a chance to watch this TV show?
I have. I believe I'm an episode behind, and maybe two, because I think there's one tonight. So I think I'm behind behind two right now. I gotta say I'm really surprised at how much I like it. I knew that I was gonna love the all the hints of, you know, the original trilogy with all the McQuarrie styled, you know, ships and armor and all that stuff. I knew I was gonna love it stylistically. I didn't know I was going to love it as much as I did story-wise. Obviously, there is a bit of the element to, you know, sell to the youth audience. It is on Disney XD, after all. But I think it's got just enough of the darker undertones of the Empire and the threat that is the Empire that it's got enough tension in there to keep me interested. And I just really, now they're expanding on the characters, I'm really enjoying it. I'd love to see way more of the Inquisitor. I'm really liking his character.
Yeah.
I just think it's really cool. And I like when they keep giving us nods to the Clone Wars, because obviously we've all watched that for years now. So when they have little nods to the characters, I'm really, really excited to see them.
Yeah, I was on board. Obviously, I've watched the Clone Wars, and I got into that after about the first five. I jumped on, like, wow, this is cool. And then, of course, Rebels, same thing. And it's, you know, you're thinking, well, it's kind of a cartoon. It's an animated show, but still, they delve into stuff that, when you're a fan of Star Wars, I mean, it hits deep stuff, especially the Clone Wars. It got really, dark at some points. And this show is, I think it's doing better than the Clone Wars is already. And, you know, it's just starting out. Look at the people they brought in. They brought in James Earl Jones to do voice of Darth Vader. We just got Lando.
Lando, yeah.
You know, we've had, of course, Frank Oz doing Yoda a couple episodes ago.
So
I mean,
cool.
So yeah, cool. How great is that? I mean, and he sounded so good in that. I mean, he just sounded like he's been doing it. You know, I mean, it sounded like right from Empire or whatever, you know, the prequel. So, yeah. Chris, we have had a couple more episodes since we last podcasted. You're still on board, right?
Yes, I am. Of course, I'll watch tonight's episode when we get through. But the last episode, I didn't know what to think about it when I saw the little preview part of it online before it came out. I was kind of like, okay, I don't know about this one necessarily, but I love what they did with it. I don't want to say too much because, Josh, you said you didn't see it yet.
Yes, no spoilers, no spoilers.
I love the way, well, you know Yoda's coming up, so I'm going to mention Yoda. But I love the way they did Yoda in this particular episode being separate.
I know
you know what I'm talking about, being separate.
Right.
And I just thought the way they blended those two together. And when he come walking out with what he came walking out with, I was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
You know, that was just like, oh, my God, this is stuff we've read about, we've kind of seen. Yeah. We saw some of it in the Clone Wars. But you actually, I mean, to come walking out and the surprise of Kanan, he's like, oh, wow, okay, it's on now. I kind of like it seems to me that after watching that episode, Ezra is now seems comfortable in who he is and where he's at now. Mm-hmm. And Kanan is finally comfortable training.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say I'm glad that they kind of got into that quickly, because I would hate for that to drag out for the entire season, you know, them just kind of finding their place, because we need to kind of skip ahead a little bit. Yeah, so I'm glad that they did it in a timely fashion.
Yeah, I think they nailed it in this one. So I'm expecting tonight that it just, that's the feeling I got with Kanan. I was like, okay, Kanan is comfortable now in his position of trying to train him.
That's what I was going to say, Josh, is this series is, I thought at first it was going to be, you know, four seasons, whatever it's going to be, five seasons of Kanan and Ezra and how they come together and how Ezra becomes a Jedi. And I think they're still going that. But like you said, they're doing it a lot faster than I thought they were. I mean, he's already, well, I guess I can't spoil it, but you'll see it in the next episode. It's going quick, you know, and that's good. I like to see that. And just like you, I'm really intrigued by the Inquisitor. We know, or we've heard, that there's going to be some ties to episode 7 with the Rebels. And yeah, I don't know if it's the Inquisitor, but that's exciting to find out. I love the Inquisitor.
I love it. If I can, just my own personal fan rumor, if there's not a direct tie in the sense that, like, he's referenced directly, I think the concept of him is a really interesting new concept. He's not necessarily, he's not a Sith apprentice necessarily. He's an Imperial officer who's trained in the arts of Sith, and also he's apparently trained in some of the Jedi arts so that he kind of knows who his opponent is.
Right.
So yeah. I think we could see that in episode 7, where we have these, you know, the knowledge exists, why not research it and use it against everyone else, kind of thing.
Yes.
And he also can use the Force, which we've seen other, like, Grievous couldn't use the Force. I mean, he was a lightsaber, but he couldn't do, like, the stuff the Inquisitor does. So that's what also is intriguing. Of course, the voice, Jason Isaacs, killing it as the Inquisitor. Love that. Just the voice acting alone has been stellar on this show. So
I gotta tell you, it totally surprised me. I didn't realize until like the third episode that Freddie Prinze Jr. was Kanan. I was like,
oh yeah,
where has he been all this time?
Yeah, he's been doing little things. I think he did 24 first season, and then he just kind of showed up here. So it's cool. He's a good guy. He's on Twitter a lot and kind of promotes. So it's really cool. Rebels is doing a great job. Like I said, at Celebration, we're going to be seeing the premiere of season 2. And let's talk about Celebration. That's probably the second biggest thing that's coming this year, besides Star Wars The Force Awakens, is Celebration. It's coming up just a few months away. I've gotten some things worked out as far as how I'm getting there, and I'm trying to get a hotel decided real quick here. But Josh, you said you were going to be there, and some of your Epic Inc. Cohorts are going to be there, so excited to meet you guys there.
It's going to be so much fun, man. Have you guys gone to any of the previous ones?
Matt,
no, I've been to some, obviously a lot of different conventions, but not a Celebration. So this is going to be new to me.
I'll just tell you right now, it's gonna entirely melt your brain. It's so amazing. The first one for me was, as a spectator, I went, it was before I was tattooing at any of them, was Celebration 5. And I didn't know what to expect. I'd been to some Comic-Cons, but it just absolutely blew me away. And then obviously getting the opportunity to work at them has been amazing as well. But it's just so cool to have, because there is so much within the Star Wars universe that it can fill a convention floor. And then you add on the fact that we've got the new movie, add on the fact that we're in California and we're in Disney territory. It's going to be out of control.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got so many things planned, and it's like, it's going to be like you said, just like brain overload to try to get everything you want done. Now let's, so Celebration for you, Josh, how's this going to work? I mean, obviously you're going to be doing some work down there. Are you going to have time to actually just go and have some fun, or is it going to be a lot of work?
You know what? Sometimes in the past, I've kind of overworked myself at the conventions. C6, I didn't really have a lot of time to walk around. Celebration Europe, I almost completely overworked myself by accident, just by like overbooking myself. So I didn't have any time to see anything. So this show, it's 4 days. I'll have plenty of time to kind of spread things out. And, I'm definitely going to look at the schedule as it gets closer and actually plan my tattoos around some of the panels that I want to see. And cause I want to experience it as a fan as much as I want to be there to do the tattoos for the fans. So I'm going to balance it as best I can. Surely I'm going to miss a lot of cool stuff, but, so everyone's just going to have to come over and tell me what happened at the panels.
Right. Right. Chris, I think for me, like if I don't get some kind of special sneak peek from The Force Awakens, I'm going to be pretty bummed. Now, it's not going to be like totally bummed, because I'm going to be having fun with all my, you know, all the friends down there and doing some things. But there's got to be something, right?
I think we'll get another trailer, our next trailer at Celebration. I just don't think they'd be idiots not to. I mean, what other better venue? I mean, even if they do it somewhere else, they could still give us a new, fresh one there. I mean, actually, there's been a rumor the last couple of days that, earlier in the week, there was a rumor that the Big Three would be in the next trailer, and then today I saw that it was another rumor that contradicts that. So I'm like, you know what? I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if we get the Big Three or not in it. Once I got past that on the first one, I was so disappointed with that. Once I got past it, it was just awesome. Just show me something, give me something. And
Yeah.
I think we're going to have JJ. I don't think we're going to get much of anything from trailers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long ways. Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit before. Yeah, I want to get anything too. But before we actually get like some story elements, I think it's going to be a lot closer to, you know, to showtime.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get much on that. It's going to be a lot of teases, I think.
No, that's what I think. And I'm fine with that. I mean, if you want to show me just a minute, you know, trailer or not teaser of some more images like they did with this first trailer, I mean, that's all I'm asking. You know, I'm not asking to have a 2.5 minute trailer or anything like that. But just something to tease us again, just for all of us that are coming out. Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, yeah. And the natural progression would be that, I was going to say the natural progression is that now we would see some of the original cast, because we all know that they're in there. We haven't seen them yet. It would make sense that now we saw the new characters, we would see some of the old. Now, I heard the rumor that the next in-theater trailer would be in front of Age of Ultron, which would be May. So it would make very much sense to show that to us a few weeks early in Celebration. You know, it's right in line with that. If we, you know, so it wouldn't be leaked too far in advance if it gets leaked, that kind of thing. So we could very well see the whatever trailer may be, if rumors are correct, in front of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get one there too.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what that's like the ultimate right there. That'd be great, right? But if we get anything less or submit some more teaser shots, I'm fine with that too. But my hope is, like you said, Josh, that trailer that we're supposed to get. And why wouldn't they do that? I mean, talk about probably the second biggest movie of 2015 is going to be Age of Ultron. I think Force Awakens is going to blow everything away. But total great opportunity to show it in front of that. So as far as Celebration, Josh, how do you – let's just say someone's listening and they go, you know what? I'm going to Celebration. I want to get a Star Wars tattoo. Who better to do it than Josh Bodwell?
The best way to get
I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say the best way to get a hold of me is through, you know, the digital world. You know, I'm very active on social media. Messaging me through, you know, Facebook is fine. email is also awesome. My email is just josh@joshbodwell.com. You can go to joshbodwell.com and contact with you there. A lot of crafty people will hit me up on every source. You know, they'll hit me up on email. They'll hit me up on Facebook. I am a one-man operation when it comes to booking. I don't have an assistant, so I'm pretty much doing everything. And I'm going to be limited in time, as is a lot of the artists, because I don't know what the total number of tattooers are going to be at the celebration. Last show we did, I think it was 18, maybe 20 artists. Everybody's going to be jam-packed. There will be time for some walk-ups. I'm sure there'll be artists leaving some open scheduling for, you know, for some quick, you know, Mandalorian symbols and some Alliance symbols and stuff. But as far as big pieces and stuff, I'm going to have to be fairly selective because, like I said before, I don't want to work every minute of the convention. So I'm going to be kind of selective as what I get done. Another awesome thing I want to mention real quick before I forget.
Yeah.
I mentioned before that, Shane Turgeon, author of Force in the Flesh, was one of the first people to really bring Star Wars into, or tattoos into the Star Wars world. At Celebration, it will be the official, worldwide release of his second volume, The Force in the Flesh Volume 2, showcasing, the best in Star Wars tattoos in a really beautiful hardcover book. Myself and the other Epic Ink guys are all part of the book as well. It's going to be the definitive Star Wars tattoo collectible book, and it's going to be there at Celebration. And I'm just happy to be there to support him. He's a great guy and he's doing a great thing for Star Wars and tattoos. So, definitely look forward to, The Force in the Flesh Volume 2.
Oh yeah, definitely. And we'll be able to pick that up down there as well. So
yeah, he'll have it there and you'll be able to get
signed
pages. We'll be, you know, it will be a lot of the artists that'll be at the show, aside from the Epic Ink crew, or a lot of my other friends from various Comic Cons and various celebrations over the years, and on all of them are represented in the book as well. So anyway, I just had to throw that plug because I'm really excited to be a part of it. I had owned a copy of the book before I ever met Shane and became friends with him, before I ever did the Star Wars shows. So it's actually a really honor for me to be a part of the book.
Yeah, it's really cool, and like I said, you guys have got to be busy down there. There's got to be a limit to the. I mean, can you actually do one of these, let's say, photorealistic, like a Han or a Leia or an Emperor? I mean, that's what, at least 6 hours, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about a 5 or 6 hour tattoo for me at an average size, and I can fit like probably 2 or 3 out of the 4 days. I could probably fit one of those big tattoos in, because a convention will usually be about 8 hours a day, right. So I can fit one of those in. But again, without trying to overwork myself, I'll probably end up doing like 2 large scale pieces and then a couple smaller scale pieces. And then, you know, I even like to add a few minutes of time in the show just for the walk-ups, because it's actually really interesting for me too, especially when I'm there. I know that anyone coming up is going to be a Star Wars fan. Right. They might be an Epic Ink fan. And it's great just to meet some people that maybe, you know, never thought they were going to go home with this lifelong souvenir. I may be scattering in some walk-up time for those looking for a quick souvenir. What's another fun thing is we end up doing tattoos of autographs. I did a Jeremy Bullock autograph at Celebration Europe. I've done a Mark Hamill autograph on a client. So, you know, that's kind of a funny thing is people getting the permanent signed autograph.
Okay, I'm thinking about doing some Auerbach. Can you handle that?
Oh, we can handle some Auerbach. We got that pulled up. We got the dictionary, so we'll be all right.
Sweet, awesome. So let's talk about anything else in Celebration you want to mention, Chris, before we go to.
Well, I was at the last Celebration, so I went roaming around the tattoo tables. So I'm sure I saw you there, because I've been to 4 of them, and yeah, the last one was in Orlando, and that's. Yeah, that would have been the last one you went to, right?
The last one I was, the last American one I was at the Orlando one as well. That was C6. And then I did, the year after that was Germany for the Celebration Europe. But that, if you were walking around that Orlando one, that one is just so amazing. So if that was as cool as it was, I can't imagine what they're going to do in Anaheim, man. It's going to be out of control.
Well, and since we're talking about that, since Matt, you haven't been to the Celebration. You went to Fan Days, and Fan Days was awesome, but this that is absolutely nothing compared to Celebration.
Oh yeah,
I mean the number of people, obviously, the floor space. There'll be a lot more things to do. What I recommend to anybody who hasn't been is don't try to put in too much. When the schedule comes out, take a look at it, look at the panel, kind of try and figure out where you want to be. And you have one panel, and then the next one starts in, say, 30 minutes you want to get to. Don't think that you can get over there and get into that one necessarily very easy. So you just have to kind of plan that and plan time with your friends, because that's going to eat up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
That I come to find out, which is that's one of the best things about going, is if we could all get there this time. You know, all the different people that we'll have there at this time, it's like we had at Fan Days and the last celebration I had. Went out to dinner the first night I got there, and there was like 50 people there of, I mean, just Star Wars people, just crowded in one restaurant in one section by like 50 people. It was awesome.
I'm hoping, too, that I think it was Celebration 5, they actually did a Star Wars night at Disney where you could, while you're on the convention floor, you could buy a special pass, and they let you go to the Hollywood studios from 8 p.m. to 2 in the morning, and it was just like, it was like a Star Wars weekend, but it was like a nighttime event, and they encouraged everyone to come still dressed up in their costumes and the 501st to be there. So there was nothing cooler than riding like the Tower of Terror with some stormtroopers next to you. You know, it was really cool. So I'm hoping that maybe they'll do something with Disneyland. They haven't announced it yet, but it was a really cool thing that they did there at Star Wars, at the Star Wars Disney World. So I hope they do something with Disneyland as well.
Yeah, I actually did that. That was an awesome night to have it closed. It only opened to those Star Wars people.
Did you go? So you went that night. Did you go to any of the Indiana Jones Jedi Temple of Doom?
That was so cool. And the fact George Lucas was sitting in the audience as well.
So you went to the showing where George was there.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I went to the last showing, the one where the Clone Wars voice actors were at. You had Tom Kane, Arnold Taylor.
They were in that one, too.
They were all there. And when they came around, it's just like an Indiana Jones stunt spectacular where they actually get some audience participation. And they're walking around. They got a guy that did a Wookiee impression. They had him come down. They walk over to my section and they say, "We're looking for a couple." Without even mentioning anything to my girlfriend, I stand up. I grab her arm. I pull her up. And the guy directly, you know, we kind of stand out in the crowd. We're all tattooed, you know, eyes right on us. He's like, "You guys come down." So me and my girlfriend had to go down in front of everybody. And we did this, they made us do a little scene, I was rescuing her or something. It was pretty funny. And then myself, my girlfriend, Tom Kane, and James Arnold Taylor got to run around as the village people, the villagers or whatever of Tatooine and run around on stage. It was pretty funny.
Nice.
That was
awesome. I hope they do that. Like you said, they're selling tickets for, Disneyland. I think some discounted tickets.
Right.
So hopefully that'd be so cool to be able to have that park for a couple hours with just a bunch of Star Wars fans going crazy.
Yeah.
Riding Star Tours, the new Star Tours, you know.
Right, right.
See, that was the only way I got to ride. That's how I got to ride the original one, was because they did that night. And I went because I'm nowhere near either one of them. And then
right.
In 7, they didn't do the special night, but they just, you could just buy tickets and go. So we got a small group and went, and it was nothing like the one before, but got to ride the new Star Tour.
I think the other thing you mentioned, Chris, is just getting a chance to meet and reconnect with some of the people that you've met before.
Yep.
And just all the friends I've made through Star Wars and through podcasting and just all converging on this place, and just for 4 days just having a good time at the celebration. And afterwards, when the celebration closes, you can go to your, wherever you go, have dinner, go to a hotel, have some fun, just party, a 4 day party. You know what I mean? So I'm really looking forward to that and just connecting.
Great. Before you go.
Another good thing about the show too, is because it's strictly Star Wars, you get everybody bringing out all the products that are specific to Star Wars. As when you go to a New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con, you might have, a Lego booth, but it's going to be all their sets. Whereas, Lego will bring just their Star Wars stuff and just, have the most amazing display. And, Kotaro Kyle will just bring their Star Wars stuff. And it's really cool to see all the new products as well. I'm a big Sideshow fan, so I'm really hoping they bring out their new stuff and all their prototypes for the new year.
That'd be nice. I wonder how Hasbro's going to do. I wouldn't mind talking to Hasbro and asking them what the hell they're doing. I mean, because they're just, they're dropping the ball.
What the hell are you doing, Hasbro?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
speaking of Hasbro and stuff, it just occurred to me, like, watching your show, Epic Inc., Chris, right. And I know you've probably done this too. Like, sometimes I get distracted by looking at the background because there's so much great Star Wars stuff over there. I mean, it's just a lot of pop culture of everything.
That's why I DVR it so I could watch it. And
Pause it, zoom into the background, see what's in the back. Yeah.
I say, oh, wow, look at that. I had that figure, sideshow stuff, posters, original art. I mean, it's just everything you see down there is like, wow, that shop is like a museum, right?
Yeah. And to be quite honest, I would tell you that what you see on the show is probably only half of Chris's collection. He's since then, put more up on the walls, and now it's insane. If you go on Area 51's Facebook page, you can see pictures of the shop now. It's incredible. It's the collection of vintage toys that he has. See, I had mentioned, you guys got to get Chris 51 on the show and talk vintage toys, because he knows if there's one thing that he can beat me at in trivia and knowledge, it's vintage toys, because he's obsessed with it. He has such a great collection. He's been collecting for a long time. And the shop is great because it's just, it's kind of funny. I think all of us, I'm sure we all have our little collectible areas in our homes and our apartments and if we have significant others, sometimes we have to keep it to one area of the home. For myself, it's my man cave is all my sideshow stuff. But now Chris has Area 51. So not only does he fill his house with all the stuff, he now fills the shop with all the stuff. And I also brought some of my stuff along too. Some of my collectibles that, instead of sitting in a box in the closet, I brought to Area 51 and they're there. In a good house, in a good home. But, that's just another thing too, is that goes hand in hand. Tattoos are a permanent collectible, and we call them collections, especially, the clients that collect from different people. And it's just one other thing that, you can nerd out on and be a collector of the pieces. And it's like, it's getting that, scoring that vintage carded figure is the same as scoring an appointment with an artist that you really want to collect a piece from.
Yeah. And the show, here's another question I had about the show, just to get to the show real quick again, before we head to Force Awakens. Now, right now, I mean, you're in Pennsylvania. Who's at the Area 50? I mean, that's Chris 51 shop, right? Does he have other artists that normally work there?
Absolutely. There's a couple guys, our buddies, Casey Baker and Kyler Shin. You don't see them on the show. Casey Baker is our background creeper. You'll see, we play a drinking game, which is spot Casey Baker. He's always in the background. Those guys are there all the time. I know that, Jeff Wortham, on the show, Jeff and Caroline, have been in Melbourne, Florida. And in just a few months, they're relocating permanently to Oregon. And they'll be, so Jeff will be there, pretty much, from the spring on at Area 51. And Heather, Miranda, also on the show, she spends an awful lot of time, guest spotting, and hopefully soon enough, she'll be there permanently as well. Myself, I'm pretty rooted here in Pennsylvania, so you're probably gonna see me here locally for quite some time. But I love traveling out there. I'll be out there this weekend for Wizard World Portland. I'll be out there joining the group. And the only other person that's still a bit further away is our buddy Chris Jones, our Welsh Welshman. He's over there. He's actually just opened up his second location in Center City, Cardiff, in Wales. So he's doing great over there. He has a shop called Physical Graffiti for any of the UK listeners over in Cardiff, Wales. Cardiff, home of Doctor Who, if you didn't know that. That's what they call Doctor Who.
Yeah, and you mentioned Chris Jones is kind of like your alter ego in the UK, so he knows a lot about Star Wars and everything. So
absolutely, we're like Station from Bill and Ted, if we run at each other fast enough, we'll turn into a larger tattoo artist. He's definitely my brother from another mother.
Yeah. Now the show, how long is the taping process? I mean, you guys did 10 episodes for the first season.
Yeah, we did 10 episodes.
How long were you at the shop in Area 51? Was it a few months or just a few weeks? How does that work?
It was a couple months, actually.
Okay.
For the first season, I think you're really getting your feet wet. And part of that is just figuring out what the show is. I mean, essentially, we knew what the show was and what we were about to produce. But on the level above my pay grade, the guys that put the actual show together, there was a lot of trying different things out, a lot of footage that hit the editing floor, so we didn't really know exactly what the show was going to look like. So we actually filmed 8 weeks out there in Oregon to get these 10 episodes. And those weeks, those were, 6 hour day, 6 day weeks, about 12 to 14 hour work days, you know, nonstop. It was a lot of hard work, but, you know, when you're working with your friends and you're doing a project, it's not quite, I mean, there was definitely some sour mornings where we didn't get enough sleep, but, other than that, you know, we all sort of just helped each other out getting through it because it was something we were really passionate about and, something we really wanted to do. And, but it was a long 8 weeks, and I'm hoping that when we get back out there to, you know, I don't have any word yet on season two, but I can ask you that. Yeah, I know that question was coming. I don't have any official word on it, but I can tell you that you know, we're all hoping for it. We're all doing our part to make that happen. It's all above my pay grade. So, but the guys above us are working hard at making that happen as well. And we hope to have something pretty soon. And you know, we get such great feedback, especially when I get to go to the Wizard World shows and I get to meet people that, you know, maybe I know their handle on Twitter, or maybe they've Facebook messaged me, but I don't get to actually meet them face to face. When I go to these shows, I get to talk with people, and it's just so amazing to hear just the different, you know, age groups that love the show. You know, we have whole families that would watch it together. Makes me so happy to know that we could create something and strike a nerve with, you know, the pop culture community. So we're definitely not done. You haven't seen the last of us, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, here's hoping you guys get another season, because it is it's different than the Miami Inks, because it's you get to see all the great art and you guys do your thing, but then there's also like a fun vibe about the show. You know, you guys all get along, and your little I don't know what you call them, vignettes or whatever, that kind of is kind of funny too. So
those are some of my favorite things. I think they're referred to as bumpers or bump-ins.
Bumper, there you go.
Yeah, they come in from the commercial break. That's actually, it's funny that a lot of people mention that. And what you might not notice is there's very, very few reality shows that have little like scripted, you know, vignettes, you know, like it's not something that's normal for a show. And that's kind of what we're all about is kind of flipping everything on its head. And somehow it works, you know, because obviously they're little sketches, but, you know, and it's not a sketch comedy show, but it just makes sense to have these little things just to lighten the mood and to kind of showcase how we don't really take ourselves seriously. And those, it's kind of gives us the opportunity, you know, for to have a full production crew basically film our shenanigans. And I think that was a lot of fun. Because again, it was definitely, you know, that came a lot out from our brains and a lot of us, you know, working so well with a production crew. We had such a great production crew that was just right on the ball. They were very symbiotic with us, and we were very creative together on it. And I think that's what separated us from a lot of other shows, where it's, you know, you have your cast and you have your production and they're very separate entities. You know, we very much worked together and to make something that was really fun and kept the vibe going. And I mean, even if like if there could be a whole nother show about the making of the show, and it'd be just as funny, because it's just, you know, we had a good time.
Nice.
Then there could also be an HBO After Dark show with all the swearing and all the stories you can't say on TV.
Yeah. There's a few stories that are like, whoa, okay, never mind.
Yeah. Never mind.
Ooh, but, that's a little.
Yeah, but we tried to keep it PG, you know, PG-13 at best. But no, it was a lot of fun, and now it's actually today, Monday the 19th. It's now debuting in Latin America. I know that it's debuting in Brazil, Chile, Mexico. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what Latin America thinks of the show.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad of getting that, and hopefully, all this buzz, and if we keep talking about it and, you know, tweeting about it and letting A&E know, they'll say, hey, let's do it again. People love the show. So here's fingers crossed that you guys get another season of that. Let's finish up, Chris, with obviously the big topic. We're going to finish 2015 with probably one of the most anticipated movies ever. I mean, I know the Empire Strikes Back was heavily anticipated, and The Phantom Menace even more so. But we're getting a brand new, something that we have no idea what's coming up, Star Wars The Force Awakens, in December, December 18th. Josh, obviously a big fan. You've seen the trailer probably tons of times like we have.
I think I practically set that as like an alarm in the morning. It's, I was like, wake up to it, you know, can you feel it? You know, that's like that's how I wake up. But yeah,
what's your thoughts, man? What do you think?
Dude, I can't get enough of it. And I'll tell you, I'm not, I'm weird about spoilers. When it comes to actual spoilers, when someone's spoiling a plot twist or a turn or something like that, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about an episode I haven't watched. But as far as like anticipating a movie, I'm really into the concept art spoilers, if you will, because we all know concept art changes. It gives you a feel maybe for what's going to happen. So I've been kind of up on that. I don't want to spoil it for people that are trying to stay away from it, but I'm just so interested in what they're doing. I love reading up on JJ and all the people involved talking about, you know, just how much they understood the gravity of what they were making with this film. They knew that fans wanted a specific thing, and they have to give us that and something we didn't expect at the same time. That's a hard job.
Yeah, I think that, talk about a daunting task. I mean, as a director, JJ, I've said this before, like, how much pressure you got, you have a new Star Wars that's going in a whole new direction. And I hate to say this, but like, it's almost like you're trying to redeem Star Wars because so many people bashed on the prequels. And it's almost like he's trying to not only bring Star Wars back to all us big time fans and put it back on the map, if you will. But then he's also got this is a new thing, you know, like how are people going to take it? And I think that's just, wow, let's talk about pressure. But he seems to be like, hey man, I can handle this. I did Star Trek. Everybody loved that. And you know, he's going to go with this. And I think he's going to, from all the stuff we've seen so far, I mean, he's already got my vote. So I'm pretty excited about what they're doing. It's a trailer. We saw some really cool stuff. We saw, like, one of my favorite scenes, of course, is the X-Wings flying over the water. Everything in the atmosphere. People have talked about that. That was crazy. What do you think about this new Dark character? I just call him a Sith because I have no idea what else to call him. But I'm really intrigued by this guy.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
They haven't referred to him as Darth. And this is my fan theory. This is nothing other than just my contemplation. I don't think I've even read this anywhere. My theory is that... He kind of like how the Inquisitor isn't an apprentice. He just has this knowledge and it is force sensitive. I kind of feel the same way. Like he's got Sith powers. You know, he can use the Force. He's got a lightsaber, obviously, but he's not officially being trained by anyone. Cause I think there's some sort of, you know, upset in the Sith balance since the wiping out of the Emperor and Darth Vader. So I feel like he's maybe he's researching, you know, the dark arts. Maybe he's finding himself some Sith holocrons and learning on his own, kind of the way that Darth Bane was researching himself, you know, different knowledge. So that's my theory, is that he's not an official Darth because he may not be an official apprentice.
Right. And, well, what about the lightsaber?
I think he might have come across some old tech. It looks like old tech. It looks like old Republic style. It's crackly. It's not sleek. It's not formed properly. It feels like something either found or something that he found the knowledge to build it, but he's not quite trained in that art. That's my theory. That's a Josh Bodwell theory. If I'm right, you can all buy me a cookie.
Well, that's the thing. Like it's either that or I just figured like he's just not well versed enough to build a really stable lightsaber. I mean, the thing is just like it's kind of crackly, it's nasty,
right.
It's dirty, it's like, ugh, man, it just looks cool, you know?
Yeah.
So
and having those cross guards is something that, other than in some of the old Republic comic books, we haven't seen cross guards before. So it feels like something that would have been phased out. Like eventually people were like, oh, we don't need them. So it's kind of like my theory is that like finding an old manual for a you know, for an old world weapon, and he put it together.
Yeah,
and it's not right yet.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was gonna say he hadn't put it together right yet. So I mean, that makes perfect sense. And I mean, we know it only takes one crystal, and I mean that's all it needs. And then bam, you got a nice solid blade. But you know, like you said, spoilers and stuff. I think me and Matt are kind of in the same boat. We wanna see things, but we don't want to see too much.
Right.
I love some of these behind the scenes. I don't want to see too much. I know when to stop. You know, I post spoilers and stuff all the time on one of my Facebook pages, but I don't sit there and read it. I look at it. I might skim through. Okay, yeah, I can put this up. You know, whatever. Put spoiler alert or whatever.
Right.
I mean, unless it comes straight from Lucasfilm, who knows what it, you know, if it's real or not. You just never know. And then once that movie comes out and we, you know, I see it three times the first day or, you know, however many times, then I want to go back, and then you want to go and see all the behind the scenes stuff and soak all that stuff in.
right.
after you get to see the movie first.
And, right.
I mean, I'm one that I'll buy the novel, but I won't read it until after the movie.
Yeah.
Or the soundtrack. And John Williams, please don't put something like Qui-Gon's death on
the soundtrack. I was just going to say that. I did the same thing. I bought the soundtrack a month before the movie and was like, really? Qui-Gon's death? You got to do that to us?
That was killer. That was a killer move, man. That was terrible, terrible.
I thought it was hilarious because I had figured it out before that ever came out. But you know.
Then I had a jerk of a roommate who bought the comic book adaptation and was like, "Darth Maul dies." I'm like, "You son of a!"
Oh my gosh! Come on!
I'd have beat it. I'd have beat it.
Yeah.
Terrible. So,
Josh, watch yourself when you go to sleep.
What's that, Chris?
I said, watch yourself when you go to sleep. If he did that with me.
yeah, right. It's punishable by bedroom beating with bars of soap in a sock.
Yeah, definitely. Josh, I've said like as far as the movie, like the one thing that like maybe the biggest thing that I want to see. I've always been like a combat Jedi guy, fighting and lightsaber combat.
Right.
And the one thing I wanted to see is the progression of Jedi abilities or Force abilities. I'll just say Force abilities. Right. And just the ramp up, because we saw a ramp up in the prequel trilogy on how they did lightsaber combat. And right. I kind of want to see that again in this movie. Is there anything in The Force Awakens that, or this new trilogy that you want to see, whether it's OT character? I mean, we're going to see OT stuff, but
right.
anything like personally you want to see, you'd love to see in these new movies?
You know, the thing I'm most excited about is probably to see how they, especially with practical effects mixed with today CG, some of the new alien races they'll come up with, because in the OT, it was, you know, except for special edition, it was all puppeteering. And then in prequels, we got nothing but full CG, which is now feeling a little dated. And I'm really interested to see how JJ approaches the new creatures of his universe and the expanded universe. And because I'm sure we're going to see some new races we've never seen before and things like that. So, and I'm just a big fan of that type of design. So I'm really interested to see, you know, where that, cause that's where they can get really creative, you know, with the aliens. So I'm really interested to see the new races that we might see.
Yeah.
Otherwise, man, I'm really just looking forward to an amazing thrill ride of a story and of an adventure, and just the kickoff of what's going to be the next, at least planned for the next 6 years of Star Wars films. Cause we're going to get about one a year. We're gonna get the spin-offs, and we're gonna get the and then each progression of the episodes, and you know, it's just gonna be really, really great to have a little bit every year. But you know, and you mentioned the lightsaber battle. I'm gonna be really curious to see how much of it we see right away in episode 7, only because we've sort of regressed in the fact that we don't have, you know, apparently we don't have a full Jedi order. Apparently we don't have, you know, it seems like the main characters, if they are Force sensitive, they're kind of new to the whole worlds of Jedi, so I don't know if we're gonna see such, you know, skilled mastery of lightsaber. But knowing how JJ films his fight scenes and his fight sequences, as in like Into Darkness, I think they're gonna be exciting no matter what.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I want to see Mark Hamill, Luke do something like pulling a ship out of the air and crashing it or something like that.
Something really like something sweet. Really like, you know, almost like Force Unleashed kind of thing. Like,
yeah, not too crazy like pulling a Star Destroyer down, but you know, I want to see him progress past what we saw of him in Jedi, and I just want to see, you know, something.
Just see him just get really angry and just like split a TIE fighter apart in midair.
That would be really cool, man. I like it. I like where you're going. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the Force powers I'm talking about.
Right on.
Ramp it up just a little bit. I mean, Luke's supposed to be this. He's going to be the ultimate by this time. We're talking
30 years of studying and contemplation.
Yeah.
And
yeah, definitely. So yeah, 2015, December 18th it is, man. We'll be there. Can't wait for that. Chris, anything else for Josh before we kind of wrap it up?
Okay.
Now he's spent. He's like, so much Star Wars in 1 hour.
You know, my brain is kind of like, wow. I mean, you know, we could talk, like you said, we could talk all day, all week. And I want to get the other guy on here and talk some vintage stuff. And
yeah, you got to get Chris 51 on. I know he's gonna wax poetic on his love of all things vintage. Whereas I guess where he likes looking back, I'm with you guys right now, looking ahead at what we got coming up. So.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun conversation because I can keep up with him and Matt will be a little off.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. Chris is the, he's the vintage guy. I'm still, I have to go to him. I have to defer to Chris on that one. And Chris 51, I'm sure. But as far as what's coming up for you, Josh, before we sign off, you just want to mention like your Twitter and where you're going to be in case people want to try to get
Absolutely.
A hold of you.
Again, my website is just joshbodwell.com. That's joshbodwell.com. All my social media is just under Josh Bodwell. It's Twitter, Instagram. My Facebook is Josh Bodwell Tattoos. But yeah, I'm more of an Instagrammer as far as because my medium is visual. So Instagram okay. a lot. But I have Twitter as well at Josh Bodwell. I'm going to be this upcoming weekend. I'm going to be in Portland at the Portland Wizard World Comic Con with Jeff, Caroline, Heather, and Chris 51. We're all going to be there. We're doing a panel as well. We're going to show some unaired footage and talk with people on Saturday. And then we're also going to be at the Cleveland, Ohio Wizard Worlds next month. I don't have the exact dates. And a bunch more dates. You'll just have to keep posted on our social media where we're going to be next. And right now, like I said, the show is airing in Latin America right now. And, right. and hopefully we'll be back again for some season two.
Yes, I'm fingers crossed for that. I hope you guys get that because it's really cool to see you guys do your thing. Yeah,
and if I can mention for any of the listeners that are like, oh man, I can't believe I missed season one of Epic Inc. I really want to watch it. Sounds like the best show in the whole world. You can go to iTunes and you can download the first episode, Welcome to Area 51. You can download that for free. And nice. If you really love it, you can purchase the other ones for like a buck or two, whatever. But yeah, there's a free episode on iTunes if you just look up Epic Inc. And I recommend it because free is awesome. And and I think if people really enjoy it and get a better feel of what, if they're listening to this podcast, they're like kind of getting a feel for what we're talking about, they'll get it in the first episode for sure.
Yeah, there you go. iTunes for free. First episode. Check it out. Chris. Anything you want to mention or stuff before we head sign out?
As usual, yes. Our at Classic Star Wars on Twitter, at Starlight Pitcast on Twitter. Facebook is Classic Star Wars, and then, of course, Starlight Pit Podcast, and and now Star Wars Now.
Yes.
One other, but Classic Star Wars is my main page, and I spend a lot of time on there, so yeah. And if you want to shoot us an email, podcast at galacticbinder.com.
Definitely do that. And like I said, all those pages. Don't forget, if you're going to Celebration, look him up, man. He's probably going to book up quick. So if you want Josh to do something for you, contact him at those sites. But that's going to do it for this episode. We thank everybody for making us part of your day. And for Josh and for Chris, my name is Matt. We'll see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.